Thank you, Jasmine. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and a warm welcome to UBM's first quarter results call. If I had to summarize the results in a headline, it would be all according to plan and expectations. Net debt has peaked at 744 million euros, compared with our guidance of 750 million. The reason behind the increase of roughly 50 million since end of last year lies in the two new investments in Vienna, which I have already mentioned in the full year calls, in the preliminary and the full year call, and which were not offset by the sales proceeds of almost 60 million. We are on track to reduce our net debt to 550 million euros by year-end, and I think that is the most important message. This represents a reduction of no less than 200 million euros. Our confidence for such a big reduction rests on the success of our accelerated sales program, Fast Track 2017. I can tell you, if you can't hear this expression, my people also are a bit tired of me mentioning Fast Track 2017 over and over again. It is important for me to explicitly mention point five on the summary slide, which mentions that our new investments are intelligent investments and thereby help to secure our current and future profitability. I shall explain what I mean in a minute, and we've got the chart on it. Let me mention another two highlights in connection with our shareholder focus. The annual general meeting has approved a share options program for UBM's top 20 executives, which is going to turn managers into entrepreneurs and helps to further synchronize management's and capital markets interests. The AGM also approved the dividend of 1.60 euro. In other words, UBM delivers on its promise of a policy of dividend continuity. Last, but definitely not least, UBM and POR agreed to extend the time horizon for the step-up coupon of the outstanding 50 million euro mezzanine capital. Only to refresh your memory, the merger of PIAAC and UBM resulted originally in 100 million euro of mezzanine capital, which was issued by PIAAC and transferred to UBM. The mezzanine capital was and is held by POR. 50 million of the 100 million was paid back in December 2015. The still outstanding 50 million euros have a coupon of 6.5%. These 6.5% were fixed until December 2019, and there was a step-up clause which provided for Euribor plus 8.5% from 17th December 2019 onwards. This step-up has been moved back 2 years to 17th of December 2021. It moved from end of 2019 to end of 2021. In return, there is no right of early termination for UBM, which existed so far. The new agreement is beneficial, I think, for both sides, as it makes medium or now even long-term financial planning much easier for both sides. Let's turn to slide four. I take the last day of my first year as UBM CEO as an opportunity to lay out where we currently stand. Remember, starting my new position, I have asked you for some patience and time to be spent on diagnosis and conception. I have identified four major issues at the beginning of my job, which needed to be addressed. One, UBM was criticized for its high leverage, and not only by the debt market. The equity market feedback clearly was, and still is, by the way, UBM's shares are trading at a significant net debt discount. Second observation that I made at the beginning, as complex as UBM might always be, there was also the issue of lack of transparency. Let me give you an example. One year ago, UBM has not reported its net debt figure for the first quarter. On top of this, there's always been the feeling of a general disconnect between the capital markets and management. I've been asked more than once from you what my plans are to better synchronize the interests of the management team with the more than 50% free float shareholders. Finally, even 1.5 years after the spin-off and combination of UBM, Strauss and Partner, and Porsche development business, there has been something like a merger blues, or I called it merger blues, the feeling that the merger of the businesses did not create any additional value. The remedies to address these issues are far from being rocket science, I must admit, and they might even sound a bit like stating the obvious. Still, they did not fall from heaven and took the management team a while to adopt. It was beyond the question that cutting back our investments to reduce debt would have been sacrificing our future. However, increasing our sales to significantly outperform our annual investment rate of more than 300 million euro in 2016, for example, was a very bold decision, even in the current environment. When it comes to transparency, our promise to join Vienna Stock Exchange's prime market with all its requirements really helped. We simply had to live up to this promise, which we did, by the way, already at the end of August last year. The most appropriate tool to sharpen management's focus on the capital markets appeared at the very early stage to be an incentivization of top management to become shareholders themselves and give them a leverage on the value creation through options. By the way, also far from being common in continental Europe. Finally, the best cure I could think of for what I described before as the merger blues was to create a new management board, which is responsible for UBM as a group. The executive committee, as I call it, is a balanced group of currently 19 top executives, of which 10 come from the management of the country organizations and UBM Hotel. The proof of the pudding, of course, is in the eating. In other words, year two in office, which I will start tomorrow, will show how much of what I described is getting executed and delivered, and I'm well aware of it. There are two big programs on the way which have to deliver debt reduction and profit contribution. The accelerated sales program FT17, which I've mentioned, has to deliver the 550 million net debt at year end, and Next Level had not only to deliver a profit contribution, but also, as the name tells, the next level for UBM as a group. We are, by the way, right in the middle of designing the streamlined processes and focusing UBM on what really creates value in our business. More detailed information, including the precise profit contribution, will be delivered at our half-year conference call. The same, by the way, is true for the recently approved long-term incentive share option program. By end of August, I shall be able to report about the number of shares effectively bought by my colleagues and all the rest. What I can tell you already today is that it has changed the attitude of most, if not all, executive committee members regarding the capital markets, our listing, and the importance of UBM's share price. Ultimately, in a year from now, the goal is nothing short of a new UBM, a UBM which, with significantly higher efficiency, reduced risk, and unlimited access to both the debt and equity capital markets. Of course, all of this should result in an improved market position and growth, as always subject to the real estate and general market environment. The one goal is clear. The next 12 months will prove the one team, and based on the first two, you will see the one company, a new UBM. Well, thank you for bearing with me in sharing these thoughts. I'm now tempted to say back to reality, or rather slide five, peak net debt. The end of the first quarter has seen the peak of our net debt with 744 million euro. What this chart shows perfectly well is what really moves the net debt. It is the sales proceeds and the investments. I almost dare to say that the rest is more or less background noise. Of course, the picture in Q2 will look slightly different as dividends are going to be paid out. Still, the needle is moved by our successful sales and the level of our investments going forward. Slide six gives you a little history of how our peak net debt has developed over the last four quarters. And by the way, it also includes the Q1 net debt number now, and where we want to land at year end. It also shows the steep descent we are determined to take. Something which might be slightly more difficult to read out of the slide is how much earnings potential we have accumulated through the net debt increase until now. Again, the best proxy for it might be the full sales price for Zalando, or all the complaints that we hear every day about yield compression by real estate investors. I would also ask you to bear in mind that with every forward sold project, we are locking in our profitability of the future. Appropriately, you might say that selling 1.5 years before completion also cuts us off the potential price increase in the next 18 months. But exactly this is part of our risk management strategy. Turning now to slide 7 might help you understand what makes us confident enough to commit to a rather ambitious year-end net debt target. Adding up the 7 so far announced transactions under Fast Track 17, and the effectively sold residential and smaller projects in Q1 arrives at the number of 268 million euros, some 30 million euros more than when we announced the full year numbers back in April. If you add the residential sales and smaller projects for the remaining three quarters of this year into this, you end up with a number of roughly 300 million euros or 50% of the 600 million euros of sales proceeds needed to make our equation work. The equation is to take these 600 million euros and deduct 400 million euros of investments to arrive at 200 million net, which have to be subtracted from the current 744 million of debt to arrive at roughly 550 million of net debt at year end. Admittedly, and I said this several times on the roadshow, the glass could also be described as being half empty rather than half full. No matter, 300 million of 600 million after 5 months justifies to claim that we are well on track with our strategic sales program. As promised at the beginning of this call, let me explain, illustrated on slide 8, what I mean by intelligent investments. One category are projects with a significant yield during the development period. The best examples are our mentioned latest two acquisitions in Vienna, Office Provider and Package 6. Office Provider is around about 80% rented office building, which came into its years and will be converted into a new office world as the tenants are moved around the office building towards its development. The 29 properties of Package 6 are all rented and consist predominantly of somewhat, again, dated retail space in the middle of residential areas. Some of them will be developed into residential. Some of them will be traded or swapped with other interesting properties. All of it in the interest of the city of Vienna, which, similar to many other growing capitals, suffers from a shortage of affordable living space. Another category, in a separate bullet point, is the category of developments in partnership with financial investors, who preferably provide the majority of equity and allow us to generate a reasonable developer margin or an asymmetrical distribution of profits compared to the equity that we have to inject. The perfect example for this are the 520 apartments developed in Thule Straße in Berlin. Another way of filling your pipeline intelligently is not only quote, under quotes, forward sell a project, but also put a hybrid forward funding structure on top, like we did with the well-described Zalando headquarters. I'll save you this one. And the fourth category of intelligent investments is to give clear preference to such investors who are willing and able to provide a straight forward funding or a really big down payment. The advantage of forward funding to be distinguished from forward selling, by the way, is that the funding during the development period is not going against our balance sheet, but the one of the investor. UVM, in this case, is a pure service provider. At the end of my presentation, I would like to give you the cornerstones of our recently approved long-term incentive share options program. It is the final step to deliver more equity market focus, together with the prime market listing and the record dividend. The precondition for top management to participate in this program is to buy shares of UVM with our own money, which we've earned in the past. The maximum number of shares which are entitled to options are 25,000 shares per executive board member and 10,000 shares per other executive committee member. Every invested share entitles to 5 options, which in turn entitle to 5 shares. Let me illustrate, because I think it's more difficult to understand in this abstract nature. Let me illustrate what I mean by giving me as an example. I have already bought 75,000 shares in the past. 25,000 shares of these, the maximum amount, entitles me to buy 125,000 shares, which is 5 times 25,000 shares. The price at which I'm able to buy through my options in 3, 4 years from now, the vesting period, is the average share price between 24th of May and 21st of June of this year. 2 conditions must be met 3 or 4 years from now. 1, the share price has to be above 40 euros, which was the price of the capital increase back in April 2015. And 2, the market cap to net debt ratio must not exceed 1 to 2.4 times. At the moment, UVM's market cap is roughly 250 million euros, and the net debt is 750 million euros, so the ratio is 1 to 3. The most important thing about the share option program, however, is that it turns managers into entrepreneurs, and I mean what I say, and that the LTIP syncs up the shareholders and the management's interests. My executive committee colleagues and me by then have invested our own money in the company. We have what is, I think, called in English, real skin in the game. And this is true for a fairly long period of time. Now, looking at the time, I only wanted to remind you on slide 10 that it is tomorrow that you receive your €1.60 per share dividend. At yesterday's closing price, by the way, this equals a dividend yield of 4.5%. UVM stays committed to a dividend policy of continuity also going forward. I thank you very much for your attention and very much look forward to take your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we'll begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by 1 on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by 2. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by 1 at this time. And one moment for the first question, please. The first question comes from the line of Christine Reitzamer of Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Christine speaking. Thank you for your presentation. I have 3 questions from my side. The first one, you mentioned in the report FX effects, particularly I think the zloty, which was significant. Could you explain a bit of the background? Is that like a valuation topic? Mm-hmm. Because I thought the valuation is in euros, but I'm not sure now where mm-hmm. it comes from. Mm-hmm. And the amounts. Mm-hmm. That's the first one.
Okay, so I answer the questions one after the other. It is the zloty. I wasn't even sure if we've mentioned it, but the zloty at year-end was at 4.424, and at the 31st of March was at 4.219, which is a stronger zloty by 5%. Now, the functional currency of UBM Polska is in zloty. So they produce their P&L and balance sheet in zloty. And it means we have to take into consideration the specific zloty prices. And then you, I think, asked also for how much these effects roughly were. They are roughly a bit more than half of the other operating income.
Okay. That makes because it was a big jump there.
Yeah. And more than half of it comes from this. Of course, just to make it clear, but I think it's pretty clear for you, Christine, is we have Euro financing, okay, for these projects. This is why we produce these differences.
Okay. And then the next question, this the share option program, is that, so that's now more or less a one-time chance for the members. Is there a time horizon when they have to decide on that? And then the second related to it is with regard to like the variable wage, is there also kind of an option program attached to it, or is it really just the only way to participate in an option program for UBM?
Yeah. Okay. Look, I think it's nothing short of revolutionary what has been approved by the AGM, and I'm very grateful for it, because for a long time we had this discussion, how do we best incentivize those people that can have an impact on the course of UBM in a way that is synced up with the shareholders. The time horizon, and there is a very detailed explanation for it in the materials for the AGM, which is still online, I think 8 or 9 pages, you can read that out in detail. But basically, the executive committee members who do not have shares like I do, because existing shares are also eligible, or want to top up to the 25,000 or the 10,000 from what they have the opportunity to buy these shares until end of July. By the end of July, okay, they have to tender in their application to participate in the share option program. And then this program runs for 3 or 4 years and has a window, okay, at which you can execute the share options of a month, okay? And in order to be able to execute in this window and make it also worthwhile for you, the share price must be above 40, and the net debt, equity to net debt ratio has to be at or preferably below 1 to 2.4.
But it is your intention really to have this as a one-time opportunity for the, could you do something like that next year again and then again and then roll it over as to say?
Well, at the moment it is a test balloon. Okay. As I said, there is very limited experience in continental Europe with these share options. I think they make a significant difference. It was on purpose designed for fairly small group of people who A, are able to afford them, because they have to buy the shares with their taxed money, okay?
Yeah.
So it's not part of a bonus scheme whereby instead of cash, you now get share options. No, you've earned money in the past, okay? Or you have money that you've inherited or whatever, and it is your opportunity now to buy shares from UBM, and with buying shares for UBM, you qualify for this share option program with your own investment. Let's see what the future brings, but I'm already happy with what we've achieved so far.
Okay. And you said the reaction of the members was quite positive on it, so they're changing the sentiment a bit.
Extremely, because, I mean, that had to be explained prior to designing it, okay? And of course, people all of a sudden started to think, but what if the share price, you know, goes up but down at the in the long term? They started to ask all kind of questions where I thought to myself, well, these are questions I wake up with every morning. But the reason might be because I own 75,000 shares already. And the discussion is a completely different one on, you know, reasonability of being listed and all the rest, because a precondition for a share option program is to be a listed company. So it helped, I think, a lot attitude-wise. I don't dare to say for everyone, because again, put your money where your mouth is. But by mid-year, by the mid-year call, I will be able to tell you what the take-up of this option program was.
Okay, thank you. And my last question, just regarding ongoing projects, is there anything new? Had anything like be, you know, postponed, or any, you know, surprises with any project or new projects? I know, particularly for specific markets or sectors that you see?
Nothing to write home about, if I may say so. Of course, there are always kind of, you know, shifts in the one and in the other direction. I couldn't have told you that it's precisely 32 or 33 million euros of effective sales proceeds that we make through the sale of our apartments and some smaller projects. Okay, and I couldn't have planned for it precisely, but basically that's the difference between 744 and 750, and you have to make all kind of assumptions on it. But by and large, okay, we are well on track, and I couldn't have guided you to the 750 million or 744 million of net debt if I had a completely different scenario in my mind. And lastly, because maybe not everybody looks at the charts as diligently as I do, on slide 6, you find on the first bullet that we are mentioning that the Fast Track 17 program is gaining speed as from Q2 onwards.
Okay, this is probably seasonal. I mean, the Q1 is normally a slow quarter, right? For sales, or
yes, it is a slow quarter. One could have argued, but maybe some could have been shifted over to the fourth quarter. But by and large, it is according to our realistic plans. Again, and maybe not everybody understood me when I gave this little journey of my last year. I've asked you for patience, and I ask you for realistic time expectations. And it's unrealistic to expect that you enter a new company and put the pieces together and expect that to become effective within 3 or 4 months. I'm confident enough, because otherwise I wouldn't give this guidance for the net debt, that the traction of the Fast Track 2017 program is making me confident enough to put down this bullet that it will gain speed as from Q2 onwards.
Okay, that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thanks, Christina.
The next question comes from the line of Stefan Scharf with SRC Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon from my side, Stefan from SRC. So my first question is about the P&L. You had a rather low taxation last year, just 200K, and now you have 1.5 million taxation. This is about 21% tax rate. Can you give us a bit more color here?
Sure. Even though I have to give you a bit more color on last year, because obviously with a tax rate of not even 4%, the tax rate last year in the first quarter was really low. So maybe I am allowed to give you a small tutorial on, you know, the fact that if we sell a lot of equity projects, okay, the projects come in already taxed. So basically what you see in the P&L is after tax, okay, for the at equity sales. So if you have a quarter with a lot of at equity sales, the tax is could be even zero in an extreme case, but it's very low. And
okay.
The other one, which probably everybody thinks of more easily, is of course the country in which you do the sales, because we have different tax regimes. My overall guidance would be that if you do your projections, okay, you're well advised to do them at around 25%, which is the normalized tax rate. Okay, and sometimes be surprised on the positive side, which can't be put the blame on you if the tax rate is lower for some special reasons like the ones I've mentioned.
Okay, the second question is, so you have any idea for the next quarters for your tax rate? Just the range between 15 and 25% or so?
Yeah, well, if I stick to what I said just a minute ago, my best educated guess is 25%.
Okay. Second question is the minority stake. There was no minority stake last year. Now it's 500,000. Can you say a bit more here?
Yes. It always depends, again, what type of projects we are selling. If we are selling 100% owned projects, of course, there is no minority stake that has to be deducted after the net profit line. It is the other way around if we sell projects that we do jointly, or, and that is maybe more helpful for you on a longer term basis, on a more steady basis, if we are very successfully selling in Germany, okay, through Münchner Grund.
Yeah.
Don't forget that Münchner Grund is owned 94% by us.
Ah, okay.
There is a 6% minority stake, and this 6% minority stake, of course, is then provided with the relevant profit allocation.
Okay. I see. So it was a strong German year also, a strong quarter in Germany also. Okay, thank you.
Stefan, to be honest, and you know me by now, you know, I don't paint the world pink. The first quarter was not very strong. The first quarter was just as we've expected it. But we've sold Holiday Inn Express Berlin, okay? So obviously,
okay,
this was a German project, a successful German project, with some of the profitability still left until handover. And therefore the minority stake in this profit that we've cashed in Q1 is allocated to the minority shareholder.
So the basis from last year was quite high. So 46 million output in Germany is not too bad for this quarter, in my point of view. But okay.
You're of course you're right. I mean, We are happy. It's just as Christina mentioned, the first quarter is always one of the weaker ones, and it came in as expected.
Okay. So there's another question about the Polish market. I read your quarterly report, and on page eight, you mentioned that there are some bigger projects coming on the Polish market. So could this have an influence on the yields and on the prices that you can get for your own projects and for your own ideas and plans like Polecki or other plans in Poland?
Look, there's always two ways to look at the coin, okay? The one is the more projects come to the market, the more interest is attracted, particularly by international investors. And we are seeing international investors. We would have never thought that they find Poland to be honest on the map. Okay, so more bigger projects, okay, make it much more attractive for international investors to look at them. The flip side of the coin, of course, is that these projects mean competition for our projects. and let the best project win. Overall, and that has been my guidance consistently over the last couple of months, our exposure in Poland with 28% of overall portfolio values is at the top. So we are expecting also to sell some of the completed projects in the future, and not necessarily substitute them through new projects. But that has something to do with the fact that I think with 28% we are at the maximum exposure in Poland according to our portfolio strategy.
Okay. So my final question is about the slide number 3. You mentioned the extension of the step-up coupon from December 19 to December 21. And December 19, we now have May 16. It's 2.5 or almost 3 years. Why did you decide so early for an extension of the step-up coupon? So it's an advantage for you, of course, but it's 3 more years to go. A lot of things can happen in 3 years.
Yeah. But in both directions. I think I want to have. I might appear to be overly conservative. It might have something to do with my age.
I know that.
I
know that.
Absolutely. I like a long-term planning horizon. And I think, you know, it was beneficial for both sides, as I said. On the one hand, we have no early termination rights, which you say, do you know if you wouldn't have used it. On the other hand, I know that I have the 6.5% interest rate. And finally, and that's also in the report, and I know that you always read it very diligently, so it's probably more for the rest on the call, this mezzanine capital counts for equity. And I want to make sure that I have this mezzanine capital as equity under IFRS in the foreseeable future.
Okay. Thank you very much, and all the best for the next quarter.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Christian Bader with RCB. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have just one question regarding your revenues. Because for 2016, you've been showing contracting and project management revenues of roughly 72 million euros. And now it is almost 30 million euros in the first quarter. So that seems relatively high if I compare that to, let's say, a quarterly number. So can you maybe help me understand what explains this relatively high amount of revenues of 30 million in the first quarter?
Excellent question, very well spotted, not an obvious one. The project management revenues come predominantly in this quarter from the QBC developments, which are equity companies. So in QBC, we have a mix. We have fully consolidated companies or projects, because we have six, and we have at equity consolidated projects. And now the at equity consolidated projects gain in weight, and for them we generate these management fees that make a big difference and a big contribution to the revenue line compared to last year.
Okay, that's very clear. And maybe a follow-up on exactly this topic. Shall we expect that for the, let's say, coming quarters, this revenue line will be similar? And related to that, I mean, what is the margin you generate on this on this part of the revenue?
Yes,
EBITDA margin.
You may expect this revenue line to stay fairly high. The reason for it is with the QBC project, you know, only getting finalized over the course of the year, that is an effect. And the other one, and I hope I don't confuse you or anybody on the call, the other effect is that if we have the equity partner on board now for Zalando, okay, Zalando changes from a fully consolidated company to an equity consolidated company, and thereby also generates management revenues. So in a nutshell, okay, rather top line than bottom line, the top line will be strongly influenced going forward over the next quarters by strong management revenues. The second part of your question was, what's the profitability and the margins? And for obvious reasons, I would not want to talk about this margins, okay? A general comment, maybe, to follow up on it. There are two different types of management revenues. The one where you are a service provider, right from the beginning. Obviously, as a service provider, okay, you want to generate your developer margin under this line, okay? However, if, like, as I mentioned, in the case where you deconsolidate a project where the profit comes from the sales price, okay, that this revenue has a very thin margin because it's basically just trying to cover your cost.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. There are no further questions at this time.
Okay, thank you very much for bearing with us for 3/4 of an hour. It was, as always, a pleasure. Thank you for your questions, and looking forward to welcoming you again on the 29th of August when we have our half-year conference call. Bye-bye.